real road hugger.
La trasmissione lunghezza d'onde. You are hearing the transmission called wavelength.
He was what you are.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM and www.resonancefm.com on the net. And today's guest is Maxwell Paternoster. Good afternoon, Maxwell.
Hello.
I'm not sure if we can, actually hear you.
Hello.
Is that better? Speak up now.
Hello?
That's better. Hi. Yes, yeah. Excellent. Fine, gotcha.
Yeah.
You must be on guest mic 2 instead of guest mic 1.
Yeah.
Okay, good afternoon, Maxwell. Thank you for coming in. We met for the first time at the funeral of Captain Maurice Seddon, which was on Monday the 24th of March, about 10 days ago now, although we had exchanged emails before that.
Yeah.
At some point. Mm-hmm. Maurice was often in the habit. He was fascinated by people's names.
Yeah.
And he was quite sort of forthright about this, which sometimes kind of people felt it a little bit intrusive, you know, and they'd sort of back away as if to say, well, why do you want to know that? But I'm sure with your name.
Yeah.
He must have said, Maxwell Paternoster, what an interesting name. Where does this come from?
Yeah, he said all that stuff. But I'm quite used to that because I get that all the time with this this kind of massively long-winded name, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
But it is an interesting name. I mean, do you know anything about the root of it?
Well, it's like a religious thing. So, yeah, Paternoster is Our Father...
Yeah.
So that's in Latin, and everyone thinks it's to do with that lift thing that they made. But it's not.
What, is that like a forklift?
No, it's like a lift, and it goes up, and then when it gets to the top, it goes over, and it comes down the other side, like an elevator.
Right.
And it's called like a Paternoster elevator thing, yeah?
Right.
But they named that after the religious... You know, like the rosary bead things?
Yeah.
Because you spin them in your hand and they go around your hand.
Yeah. Right.
So it predates the lift thing.
Right, okay. So where are you from?
Suffolk.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is it a local name, Paternoster? Are there many Paternosters?
No, there isn't, no. there's like... not many that I know of.
No. Okay. So Maurice must have been quite intrigued with this, I would think.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that when I first spoke to him and told him the name, there was this massive conversation about, like, the Paternoster name and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's speak a bit more into the mic.
Ah, yeah. There we go.
Yeah, right. That's better.
Yeah.
Okay. So perhaps you could tell me a little bit about... your first encounter with Maurice, how did that come about?
Well, I went through a phase of, like, buying loads of things and sort of stashing them, and then with the intent of maybe selling them later and things like that. And I'm always looking at adverts and eBay and all this sort of thing. And I saw an ad on, was it AdTrader or something like that?
Uh-huh.
Some other website.
Yeah.
They said roads to bicycles...
Yeah.
Yeah. Many to choose from. Slough.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, it just stood out, so I rang him up and immediately got this kind of mad conversation thing, you know? Yeah.
So roadster bicycles.
Yeah.
As opposed to not roadster motor bicycles.
Yeah, no, this was bicycles, yeah, because I was looking for bicycles and stuff, you know?
Oh, right.
Yeah. And he started telling me about the bicycles, and I could go and look at them, and if there was one that I wanted and it wasn't right, I could dismantle another one and then put them all together to make one, like, ultimate bike and buy that.
Okay.
Yeah.
How long ago was this? When was this? Roughly.
Oh, God, about 6 years, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
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 So, but, yeah. So you were searching. Were you looking for bicycles at that time? Then,
yeah,
obviously you were.
Yeah,
but because I only took you to be a motorcycle person.
Yeah, I was after bicycles then, but also motorcycles. But I didn't know he had that stuff.
Right.
But on that first phone call, he told me like his life history, and then told me all the things he'd done, and then started to list off all of the things that he had. And then when he got to the motorcycle stuff, I said, what a coincidence. That's the bike I'm trying to make.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Because his main thing was BSAs, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
So what happened next? Did you get invited out there to start looking at these bits and pieces? Or?
I kind of imagined what he was like, and after all that stuff he told me, I Googled him, and then I saw all the videos and all the stuff on the internet,
right?
And
so you got an image of him before you met him.
So I kind of imagined. He told me there was loads of dogs, and he told me there's a great big fence, and he told me he was plagued by criminals and all this sort of stuff.
Yes.
And I immediately imagined this kind of excrement filled yard and all this like mud and all these piles of junk and a smell. I imagined it all, and then when I found a picture on the internet, it confirmed what I imagined.
Because
there was a guy when I was 16, there was a guy in Debenham who used to pay us £5 a day to go to his dog poo filled junkyard to like move paving slabs around and things like that to try and clear it up.
Okay.
So it kind of reminded me of that a bit.
Right.
Yeah.
But I suppose in Morris's case, it seemed to be very much at odds with his voice and personality, didn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
It sort of seemed to be a surprise, conjunction of his environment.
Yeah, definitely.
So what happened next then? You went out to his place.
Yeah, well, I followed the instructions of going there at the exact time. And then actually I had to phone him before I left to make sure he knew I was going.
That's right.
Then
he would insist, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
He would sort of say, be sure to phone me before before you set off.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there was this like telephone, you know.
Yeah.
You ring in and then you get this... Like, hello, and like you can't speak because he's controlling it with his foot and everything, you know.
Right.
I got there, and then you have to press the bell.
Yes.
And then wait for a certain amount of time for him to come to this little speaker thing.
Yeah.
And then it's just like a plank of wood with like holes drilled in it. Yeah.
Well, his voice would come out of the fence, wouldn't it?
Yeah. he goes, hello, can you hear me?
Right.
And then after that, you have to wait another 20 minutes for him to get to the gate. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So then you'd be onto the grounds of his sort of estate, as it were.
Yeah, yeah. Well, getting through the gate was always kind of a bit of a nightmare because... you know, he'd tell you about the dogs and this big chain that'd get dragged through this hole and stuff, and then when you go in, you get battered by like all these dog paws covered in muck and everything.
Right.
I actually went and got some disposable overalls and gloves and everything just to get
just
through
to
the
get
gate.
Into the corner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Hmm. So, did you get invited into the house?
No. I wish I had, because I kept, like, I was always confined to the garden. And I could see just about see things in the grubby windows, like all these piles of cool-looking stuff.
Yeah.
And I said, can I go to the toilet?
Yeah.
And I thought I might be able to go into the house. But he said that the house was in such a mess that I'd be in so much shock or something.
Yes. It is true that in his later years he was sort of, I think he was embarrassed to have people inside the house.
Yeah, that was it.
But he would often make he would make this sort of special drink of his, which he called Chocky, which was like some bizarre mixture of kind of almost like chocolate and garlic and various other things sort of mixed up in a blender. So I wondered if you'd ever had that.
No, I didn't. I didn't have any drinks or food there. I mean, he did bring a cup out once to potentially drink water out of.
Oh, God.
I could see it wasn't a cup. It was just the hacked off bottom of a plastic bottle, and there was all these, like, brown dried things all smeared in it. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So what happened in the garden? What was the...
Well, I looked at those bicycles, and it's just basically a wrecked pile of rusty old junk. And it was under a tarpaulin, just covered in liquid and leaves and stuff. So, I don't know, I thought, this place is, like, pretty cool, and I wanted to go back there, and I said I'd help, because he wants to sell his motorbike bits. He wanted to sell them.
Yeah.
But he wasn't getting very far.
Right.
I said, there's this thing called eBay. I could help put them on there.
Mm-hmm.
He agreed, but it all had to be done in this massively long-winded way.
Oh, right.
Like, I'd have to go there, take photos of the things, but not get any of the yard in the background.
Okay.
Then...
Why was that?
Because he was... You know, he's one of them kind of paranoid that if people saw some of the garden in the background,
yeah,
then they'd go there and steal everything.
Okay, right,
that, that sort of thing.
Sure, I see.
Yeah. So, yeah, go there, take the photo, go home, leave the stuff there, put it on eBay with this listing and everything, explaining the situation. And then when someone bought it, I'd have to wait for them to pay, then go back to his, give him the money, get the thing, take it back to mine, package it, and send it.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's really long-winded, yeah.
It's quite complicated.
Yeah.
So did you feel like, was it like you were trying to help him in some way, or were you getting parts sort of in exchange for this? Or?
Well, I wanted to, I don't know, I just kind of wanted to hang around there, and I thought I'd offer to help, so then I could look at all the things there and...
Sure.
Then, obviously, I was making a bike as well. So, I also wanted to exchange helping for parts.
Right.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah. And was this still bicycles or motorbikes by this point?
These are the BSA things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, presumably, you must have gone there and you must have seen all the stuff there, I mean, it was pretty extraordinary, wasn't it?
Yeah,
I mean,
there
it
was
wasn't
loads.
Just like, wasn't really like a scrapyard as such. I mean, it was kind of a pretty unique environment, which of course, it's now been completely demolished, the whole house, the garden, the fence, everything.
Completely flattened,
That was
the first time I went. The second time I went back to kind of help out, there was this tarpaulin, and I said, "What's under there?" And he didn't know. He's like, "Why don't you have a look?" So I pulled it back, and there was this massive pile of BSA engines.
Right.
And he didn't even seem to know about them.
Gosh, right.
And then I transferred all of those engines to this old horse box thing that was called the engine shed. And that had about 20 engines in it already.
Really?
And they were just in a heap. And I spent all day just lifting engines onto this wheelbarrow thing and pushing them to the engine shed and putting them in there.
Crikey, right. Are all BSAs or?
They were all exactly the same, B31 engines. Yeah.
How come he had so many of one engine, do you think?
I mean, he said that it was his favourite bike that he used to ride, you know, that thing he had with all the wires hanging off it. And he knew they were going to become obsolete, so back then he made a point of buying as much BSA things as possible.
Right,
and then
right.
He amassed this huge stash of it.
Yeah. Presumably so that he could maintain his own bikes and keep them sort of, he'd always always be able to have the spare parts. But even so, it sounds like he had far in excess of what he needed.
Yeah, well, he kind of, his collection of parts outlived him, you know.
Indeed.
Yeah.
That's true. Now, you've got a kind of list somewhere of things which, yes, I've lost my list too, but have you got that? Because that sort of had some notes on, which we could use to sort of prompt memories of Morris.
I don't know where I put it, actually.
Okay, don't worry. Let's see. We opened. Did you? I don't suppose you identified the engine sound that
here
we started off with. Did you, you know, when we started the program, there was a sort of sounds of an engine.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, that was.
Any idea what it was?
No, I couldn't. I was concentrating on this technician guy. It sorting out my computer. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. What's on your list anyway? Let's have a look. See what's.
Well, I've got this one short one here that says Spider Talk.
Oh.
That's I had to go to his house to cover loads of metal things in oil to preserve them.
Okay.
And one of them was this pretty much useless old trailer that didn't look like it'd ever work again.
Yeah.
And I had to pull this tarpaulin off it and clamber underneath and paint the undercarriage in sump oil.
Yes. Well, his theory was, wasn't it, his way of preserving virtually anything was to paint it in old engine oil.
Yeah. It's actually a pretty good way of doing it, and I've been doing that ever since to anything that's old and rusty.
Right. Yeah, well, it does work, actually.
Yeah, it works.
But of course, most people won't do it because it looks kind of tacky and things stick to it, don't they?
Yeah, cosmetically, it's not ideal. But
no.
It does the job.
But even his cars, his Volkswagen cars, he'd just paint them with old engine oil.
Yeah.
What else you got on your list? What's the next?
Yeah, the spider thing, basically that. I pulled the tarpaulin off and there was this kind of giant house spider thing.
Yeah.
And Maurice saw it and then he leant over and started kind of having a conversation with the spider.
Right.
And I said, oh, you don't mind spiders then? He was like, no, they're lovely. They're great. I love spiders. They get rid of flies and they're, you know. Although he was sort of talking to it like it was a human. And actually, at one stage, he asked me where it was because he couldn't quite focus on it, yeah.
Right. Well, I suppose his garden was quite a natural environment, wasn't it? I mean, the things just kind of developed organically amongst the junk and so on.
Yeah, definitely things like spiders and probably rats and things as well.
Well, I'm afraid so, later on. Yeah, a bit later.
Yeah.
So where did it go? Where did it go from that? So you then were into. So you were no longer making a bicycle, but you were into building a motorcycle.
By
this point, did that? Had you always had an interest in motorbikes? Or?
Yeah, always. Yeah,
because you're a member of. Interestingly, you're a member of a gang. Aren't you?
Well, it's not so much a gang. Basically, I made a website years ago called Corpses from Hell.
Yeah,
Motorcycle Gang, I called it.
Right.
And that was basically going to be a blog just to put bikes on that I liked and things like that and show bike-related artwork. And I don't know.
So
I don't really have a plan. I just thought that was a funny name for a website.
So it's a mythical gang. It doesn't actually exist. But you have you're part of a kind of network of motorcyclists who you seem like... it's quite interesting in a way because it is literally a network of people who seem to build motorbikes that are unique and quite eccentric. They're quite sort of put together from parts.
It's kind of...
From found parts, I mean, secondhand sort of...
Well, it's become all the rage to customise bikes and all that, but it's all quite complicated and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
It's, you could talk about that till the cows come home, but I Yeah.
So it's like a kind of, I mean, I put it, when I sort of posted up the description of the programme, I described it as sort of postmodern Hell's Angels. But I suppose...
Yeah, well, that might be quite a good description, actually. Postmodern, yeah.
But Hell's Angels tend to stick together in groups with very definite sort of ethics of their own and so on.
Yeah.
Whereas you are not part of a gang.
It's just a tongue in the cheek name for, it's a kind of tongue in cheek thing.
Okay.
Just a website and.
But do you connect with other people of similar similar interests?
Yeah, lots of people have made similar sort of businesses and things like that.
It's quite interesting that you connected with Morris, though, because he was such an isolated figure.
Yeah.
So you, in a way, it's like isolated figures coming together.
Yeah.
Who have a common interest, but probably couldn't really be part of a gang as such.
Yeah. Those Hell's Angels guys and everything, they call themselves clubs. There's all clubs.
Yeah, chapters.
And everything.
Yeah. Chapters.
We just said gang instead because we didn't want to get any involved in any of that motorcycle club stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So tell me about the bike then. What's the bike you made using Morris's parts?
It's basically an M20 rigid frame with a B33 engine. They're all compatible, these bits and everything. But the M20 was originally a flathead, uh-huh. but the B33 engine is overhead valve.
Right.
So they all fit in the same chassis and everything.
Uh-huh.
The engine I got from Maurice had already been modified by the previous person who dumped it there or whatever.
Yeah. That's probably why he got it, isn't it?
I got the impression it must have come with a whole great big stash of bits, and because it was quite difficult to know what was inside the engine, and I only suspected that it was a decent engine because the timing side cover wasn't on it, and I noticed that, this is all technical stuff.
No, that's good, that's fine.
The pinion that drives the magneto had like lightening holes drilled in it to make it lighter.
Oh, right.
So I thought, well, if that's lightened, then maybe some other stuff's been done to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I chose that engine as payment in exchange for loads of help I did.
Right.
And it was so rusted up, I couldn't get the cylinder head off. I had to hacksaw the barrel studs to get it all open.
Yeah.
When I did, I saw this high compression piston, and it was a 500 instead of a 350. Someone had put a bigger inlet valve and polished conrod, lightened flywheels, gold star cams. So right. that was quite good.
So you're obviously you recognise this stuff immediately. Know this stuff inside out, it seems.
Well, yeah, I could tell just by looking at the conrod was polished and the flywheels lightened. Yeah, and
right.
Then I noticed that the cams had markings on them, which the standard cams don't.
Uh-huh.
And you could tell that the valve gear was all kind of shiny and lightened with holes drilled in it here and there.
Right.
Yeah, it was stuck out like a sore thumb, yeah.
Okay. And how did you learn all this stuff about bikes? Have you taught yourself, or you just
Over the years, yeah. I think the main chunk of learning was at school. I just got this book, How Engines Works, and I kind of studied that.
Right.
And then, okay. It's pretty basic.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like any Tom, Dick and Harry can be a mechanic because it's so basic, you know?
Okay. So what's the bike you've got then? What have you ended up with?
Well, I don't know. It's just sort of cobbled together. They call it a Bitzer, I suppose. Yeah.
A Bitzer?
Yeah.
Because it's made from, sort of cannibalised from other
yeah,
bikes.
Yeah,
so.
I suppose a Bitzer, or some might call it a Special. Those are kind of old-fashioned terms, yeah.
Yeah.
But nowadays it might be called a Bobber or some kind of other weird name, like Brat Tracker thing or whatever they call it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But it looks good, right?
Yeah, yeah, it looks cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And is it fast?
I haven't been able to maintain it at any significant speed without damaging the engine.
Oh, right. Okay.
I mean, yeah.
So we should say that apart from this interest, You are an artist. You're an illustrator. You make videos. What else do you do? And bikes is a big thing, part of your life. This Corpses from Hell gang.
Oh yeah, that
there's
yeah,
a website yeah. of Corpses yeah. from Hell. Anyone? Yeah. What are your websites? Corpses from Hell.
Well, there's corpsesfromhell.co.uk.
Yeah. And then
there's not much on there, but I update the blog and the Facebook page and everything.
Uh-huh.
Then there's my own art website, which is maxwellp.co.uk.
Right. And that shows your kind of illustrations.
Yeah, well, I've tried to link them all together as best I can.
Yeah. And you've brought some books in. You feature in various artwork features in a couple of books and magazines. I noticed there's one. The French magazine was very interesting. Is that called? NUM.
This one. This one here.
Right.
It's called All You Need Is Ride.
Okay. That's a French sort of biker magazine or something?
I think it's a fanzine classed as.
And they did an article about you and your artwork.
Yeah, they put some... I had to fill out an interview and send it to them, yeah.
Yeah. And you've illustrated a helmet with your graphics, which, for want of a better word, I would just call kind of urban art, I suppose. it's a kind of like... It's like graffiti art or not? Is that not accurate?
Why, I don't know. I mean, I don't even know myself.
Well, it's like comic book cartoon art.
But
quite spiky, yeah?
Yeah, sort of line-based illustration with a comic influence, sort of thing, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to think it's contemporary.
Yeah. Okay. So, and also you've brought your laptop in with lots of various sound clips. Should we play a clip from your, what are you going to play first?
This one will be a Landspeed Record V8 thing starting its engine and then taking off into the distance, and you'll notice that the further away it gets, it should get a bit louder.
Okay.
And that'll show how the sound travels at Bonneville, yeah.
Okay, if you play that,
right,
let's see
we
if
go.
It's...
Yeah.
So what is that exactly?
Not sure exactly what it was, but
had a lot of trouble starting.
Yeah, they're pretty temperamental, those things. That's Bonneville Speed Week on the Salt Flats.
Right.
That was a kind of V8 Land Speed record car.
Okay.
Trying to get going and break some kind of record. Yeah.
So have you been to Bonneville?
Yeah, I went there, yeah.
All right.
2012, yeah.
Wow, okay.
Speed Week, and I videoed all of that stuff there, yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't compete in this, would you? Is this only for speed trials, as it were?
Yeah.
Is it just people trying to break speed records, or is there more to it than that?
Basically, that's it. It's Speed Week. Everybody takes their machines there that they've spent loads of money and time trying to break records with, and they all take them there at the same time and go for it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty expensive to spend.
I wouldn't
even be able to afford to do that with a moped, let alone
a
car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is it a rich person's hobby, or is it just that people that have got loads and loads of time to do it?
I suppose if you're really into it, then you do it at whatever financial level possible.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen that film, World's Fastest Indian,
with
Anthony Hopkins. Yeah.
Okay.
He did it with a shoestring budget. And
an Indian was a motorbike, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
Like a Harley Davidson.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
So he...
great big sort of heavy American thing.
Yeah, well, he modified it over the years and they made this big film about it.
Okay.
So he did it with hardly any money.
Right, okay.
But there's other people who... I've got some banter recorded here. Some American guy talking to his mate about his... engine.
Okay, should we play that?
Play that?
Yeah, let's see.
Yeah,
that.
You can see what he says about the price of the cranks.
Fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want an engineer to help me make a crank. He says, there are no good engineers here in New Michigan. They make 6-7 cranks before they do it, and we charge $5,000 a crank. So I'm going, 6 cranks, $30,000. It's the same as in Germany. So I have the stock crank. I wanted one with 12 weights instead of 8 to get rid of.
Okay.
Yeah.
So who's that? Was this you recorded this at Bonneville?
Yeah, that was at Bonneville. There was these two guys standing in front of a kind of what did he say it was? It looked like a Merc or something with the bonnet up. And there was this great big shiny engine in there with all these mods done to it. And you heard what he was saying about the crank prices and everything.
Sure.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
Yeah. So I suppose it's a lifetime's commitment, isn't
it? Yeah, yeah.
Your training, you were telling me earlier that your occupation or job for a long time was as a gold leaf...
gilding, yeah.
Gilding.
Yeah.
So you apply that incredibly thin gold leaf to things, to frames and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't do that anymore. You've sort of phased out of that.
I'm still kind of doing it, but I've tried to move away from doing the freelance frame work at the minute.
Right.
Because, like I said earlier, it kind of takes over a bit. And
But it's interesting. You were comparing. You're saying there's two kinds of people that did it. Some are kind of like from college or something.
Yeah.
Can you tell me that again?
There's like, it seems like there's two schools of people doing this. There's people doing kind of reproduction framing who do a high volume of gilding the whole time.
Yeah.
Like loads of frames, one after the other, just standing in a workshop, chucking this gold on and doing a really good job, obviously, but then there's the other brigade, which are these kind of college course restoration people who treat it much more like a interesting, arty, kind of creative thing.
Right.
And they really get into the history of it and restoration and all of the materials used and analysing little bits of the frame to find out what was on it before and trying to recreate it, that sort of thing.
So you're trying to get out of you're moving into some other area of creative activity now.
At the moment I've got quite a lot of projects on.
Okay.
But I'm gilding. I've been using gold on a lot of the artwork I've been doing. I've been incorporating it into crash helmets and petrol tanks on bikes and I thought I'd try and stick it on some other things.
Isn't that incredibly expensive though, isn't it? Doesn't it become very expensive?
It can be. It depends on if it's a big area, it's going to cost loads, but if it's a small area, sometimes it's, you know, like if it's like a little wallet or something, probably I mean, one book of gold is roughly, I don't know, 20 quid.
Oh, right. Oh, that doesn't sound too...
Yeah, but, exorbitant. I mean, it doesn't go far when you get into quite a big area.
Sure.
With lots of different curves, like a petrol tank, you know, you can end up using loads of it.
Yeah. All right. So, but you make videos as well. You've got videos, which I noticed, I played one which looks like a sort of robot with flashing eyes.
Yeah, that, I don't know if you've heard of have you heard of circuit bending?
Yes.
So,
actually, Chris upstairs would know all about circuit bending.
Right, I got a keyboard and I adapted it with these switches on either end. And, I made this track and then I made a little video to go with it. Just for a bit of fun.
Right. Is this the one with the Casio?
It's a kind of... I think it's a Yamaha, this one.
Oh, okay.
But I've got a whole bunch of keyboards, so...
Right. So this is a video and music you produced.
Yeah, I'll just locate it here.
Okay.
Actually, this one's on YouTube.
Sure. Does it have a title?
Hang on. Ah, here we go. So it's just called robot.wav on here.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'll play that. Yeah.
Fine.
Thanks.
It's good. And it's a good visual too. I have watched it. It's like a robot with just flashing eyes, but it's quite a static shot, isn't it?
It's on YouTube, but I can't remember what it's called on there. So,
but isn't it your presence on the net, is it data pop?
That's it. Yeah, you could probably watch it. Well, if anyone wanted to watch it, they could probably,
of course they do, send them to it. What is it, what's your what's you called, data something?
Data Nostra.
Data,
yeah.
I see Data Nostra. Yeah. So that's DATA.
Yeah,
NOSTER.
Yeah.
All one word. So Data Nostra something or other. What? And then they find that, video.
They would find it, I think. I suppose.
Sure.
Yeah.
No, it's good. Yeah. Worth a look. What else we got? Have we got any more engine noises?
Let's have a look. Yeah, I've got engine noises. I'll just go to the folder. This one here is a sort of truck thing. Yeah. At Bonneville,
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
So that's a truck thing.
Yeah, jeez, that was at Bonneville driving off. I think he had a gearbox discrepancy as he was taking off. Yeah.
They all, a lot of them have this sort of, what I call a kind of guttural kind of, it's almost a rattling, rasping sound.
Yeah,
isn't it?
That was another V8, but there's another one I've got here which was much more clattery. It's kind of a,
okay.
It looks like a Citroen thing, but it was so loud.
Okay,
I'll play
that one.
Yeah, here we go. Yeah. I think that might have been a two-stroke car. It was a car, though. Yeah.
Right, right.
Two-stroke, yeah, that's a different type of engine, by the way. Yeah,
yeah.
There's another one of some guys starting an engine.
These are all cars, aren't they?
Yeah, I can...
Have you got any motorbikes? Because that's sort of more...
Yeah, here's a motorbike. This is like a really noisy BMW thing.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Oh, this would be a good one for my friend James.
Yeah.
He rides a BMW.
Ah, well, maybe it sounds like
what
this.
What kind of BMW is it?
I'm not sure, but it's. I think it's just... I can't remember what's going on in this video, but it's a BMW.
But is it the sort of thing he might be able to do? Can anyone do this to their BMW? What's going...
I assume so.
Okay, let's play it.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah,
certainly doesn't sound like James's BMW.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he could maybe adjust the carbs or something.
What kind of speeds are these people getting up to?
I'm not sure. I mean, some of them go surprisingly slow.
Yeah. You know,
like, they'll go all the way out there and they'll go like 70 and then it will turn out that that's some kind of record for that specific type of bike or whatever.
Oh, okay.
But then some of them go really fast, like 150 or maybe, I don't know, 200.
Right.
Yeah.
I suppose all of this would be the absolute... It's a world apart from, of course, from Morris and his approach to motorbikes, which was...
Yeah.
He always said to me on the phone, he sort of said, go slowly and calmly, you know.
Yeah.
He was all about going slow. And
that was it.
He used to travel to Wales... Mm-hmm. In his Volkswagen, pulling a trailer with his friend Paul, who had to lie horizontally next to him. And he wouldn't do more than 30 miles an hour.
Oh, God.
And it took something like sort of 8 hours to get to Wales with queues of traffic behind him.
That's what he used to tell me. But I was trying to tell him it's dangerous to go slow because everyone's behind you.
So did you took him to Lidl once?
Yeah, that was...
What was that all about? Did you have a car as well then?
Yeah, I had a car, and I mean, when I was going there to help out and stuff, he was kind of, I mean, he used to ring up all the time, and and I said I'd just help out if you want with whatever. So then, one time he wanted to get a Lidl, and well, actually, it took him 20 minutes to explain what Lidl was because he was talking about this German company that's set up over in England. And he was saying it Lidl or something like that.
Right, yes, he'd give it the German pronunciation.
And I was like, what's all this then? And then eventually, when he spelt it, I said, you want to go to Lidl.
Right.
Yeah.
So you drive him there just to do some shopping?
Yeah. Because I figured I could get some stuff as well, and then like maybe I was probably dropping off some eBay money as well or something like that.
Yeah. Did you manage to sell much of his stuff on eBay? Did he do all right out of it? Or
actually, it was quite good. I mean, it really got going for a while. I put it on eBay and I advertised on some other internet places, and the fact that there was bits and people could contact me and then contact him. But then it transpired that loads of people knew about the stuff anyway, and they'd sort of given up trying to buy it years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, because he was so difficult to deal with.
Yeah.
In a way.
So I sort of acted like a bit of a, I don't know, mediator or something, trying to make it
like a broker sort of thing.
Yeah, trying to make it a bit more easier for people to actually buy things.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you are listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM and www.resonancefm.com. And this week's guest is Maxwell Paternoster, who was an associate of Captain Maurice Seddon. And we met at Maurice Seddon's funeral, and Maxwell has kindly come into the studio to talk about his work as an illustrator, artist, video maker, and motorcyclist. I don't know, does the motorcycling have any sort of spin off that other people can get? I mean, you don't make bikes up for other people, or is it just for yourself?
Well, bikes can be made, that's
right.
I mean,
that's not something you ordinarily do, but.
Well, not me, but I actually live at a place called Kingdom of Kicks now, and that's another sort of place that got set up, and they've just opened a store downstairs.
Yeah.
And there's a workshop there which is equipped to make custom bikes and everything.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
So that's Kingdom of Kicks?
Yeah.
Where is that? In Hackney?
Yeah, Hackney, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I never see. Perhaps I'm just out at the wrong time or something. But I never see the kind of bikes you're talking about. You don't see them on the road as such, do you?
No. Well, you probably see a lot more during the summer,
right?
Because it's quite a small scene,
right?
It's kind of building up. I mean, you might have noticed motorbikes cropping up in fashion shoots and all that kind of stuff. You know, that's kind of
right.
All of the kind of fashion places are kind of jump on the bandwagon a bit.
Yeah. So it'll be cool for 3 months. And
then, exactly.
And they'll look for something else.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So once again, you've got a website. Your Corpses from Hell website and the Data Nostra YouTubes and so on.
Yeah, that. Yeah.
Let's play out with a few more engine noises. What else you got? Oh, anything else you want to play?
This is a V8 being revved here.
Okay. V8 of anything.
Do you want some more?
We've got 5 minutes left play whatever you want.
I've got a music or anything.
Yeah, yeah. Is this your own music?
Yeah, I can play a track that we made. One of the ones I told you about. It's got guitars and everything in it.
Yeah.
So,
okay. Is it a band or were you just people got together for it?
Me and my friend made it, and actually I'm just trying to find out which one of these it is. These are badly. Maybe it's this one.
Yeah? That's the wrong one.
Yeah, that's one I did actually make, but that's not the one I was trying to.
Alright.
That's not the one I was trying to. Well, I don't think I can find it. Ah, here it is.
Yeah?
Yeah, here we go.
Come on! Come on.
definitely doing the guitar, yeah. What's it called?
The track, well, it's just got a working title, which is staccato.
Okay. So you want to play out with an engine noise?
Yeah, I've got this glitchy thing.
Oh, yeah, an engine noise, yeah.
Okay,
yeah. Okay, you've been listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM with Maxwell Paternoster. And we're going to play out with a glitch.
Yep, hang on. Oh, man, this is... Here we go.